SiriusXM Radio presents, in conjunction with House of Athlete, I Am Athlete Tonight.
What up, what up, what up, what up, everyone? This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I'm your host, 10-year NFL defensive lineman, Lijay Dusabon. You know I'm with my guys, six-time Pro Bowl running back, two-time Super Bowl champ, Mr. Crazy Work himself, LeSean Shady McCoy, in 2014 All-Pro defensive back, Adam Pac-Man Jones, the guy that knows everybody. You know what, fellas? I love when you two are on the show together. You know why? One, I know we're going to keep it real. And two, we're going to have good conversation because you guys literally never agree on anything.
Oh, yes, they do. Yes, they do.
How y'all boys been though, man?
Man, we've been good, man. Running through the city near you. Shady, what's up, baby?
What's up, Pac? How you doing, OG? You all right?
Man, we good, man. You know.
Yeah, it's been a while since Pac been on. I know we had a few of the podcast episodes, and I know, Shady, you was on yesterday, and I was off yesterday. But it's good to have my guys back in the studio, man.
Yeah, man. Talk business, man.
I will say this.
Oh, Lord. Go ahead.
Dudes.
What's up?
It hurt me that you wasn't here yesterday.
I heard you yesterday, man. Yeah, I appreciate my guy.
Your guy was struggling. He was struggling, not the host, you know what I'm saying, but struggling with small things like not reading, but reading the numbers, like 2, 3, 4, 5, call Mad Dog Sports, you know, something like that.
And then
we had a special guest, Ashley Nicole Moss. She did a great, great job. I was very impressed, man, of the knowledge that she has about the game. I could tell that her father sat in front of the TV on Sundays and let her watch some football.
At an early age. Well, we got a great show, man. Let's go ahead and jump into it today. We have first round pick and Pro Bowl defensive line. Pro Bowl defensive lineman Leonard Williams stops by the show live to talk all things New York football Giants. I know our producer, Pernell, is super happy about that. Chet Holmgren gets buckets in his NBA Summer League debut and dominates on the defensive end. And Terry McLaurin feels Carson Wentz doesn't get enough respect for his toughness in the pocket. But first, we were all wondering if Baker Mayfield would get traded, or could him and the Browns potentially patch their relationship up just in case Deshaun Watson was suspended for a significant length. Well, the Browns have decided to trade Baker Mayfield to the Carolina Panthers. First reported by NFL Network, the Cleveland Browns and Carolina Panthers have reached an agreement to send quarterback Baker Mayfield to Carolina in return for a 2024 fifth-round conditional draft pick. Mayfield's salary will be covered by the Panthers, $4.85 million, and the Browns will account for $10.5 million. Now, this is important that you guys realize this next information. Mayfield has agreed to forego the remainder of his $18.8 million salary to facilitate this deal happening, which will happen pending a physical. The source said, ultimately, Baker Mayfield is taking a $3.5 million pay cut to make sure that this deal happens, and he goes on to Carolina. Now, Mayfield became expendable for the Browns once Cleveland traded for Deshaun Watson and gave him a guaranteed contract. And to add to this storyline, the Browns play the Carolina Panthers in Week 1. LeSean Shady McCoy, what is your initial reaction to Baker Mayfield heading to the Carolina Panthers?
Well, first of all, Let's not get out of proportion with this. All right.
What do you mean get out of proportion?
3.5. Like, you know, that's nothing.
When
you
get 3.5?
$18 million?
Right? Well, no. So he was getting 18.8.
So that's
right?
15 something.
Yeah, he's getting 15
okay,
something.
All right. Come on, brother.
But you know,
still a bomb.
15.
What's crazy? There's
now
another quarterback on that team that was in the same draft class that's gonna be getting 18.8, and he might be the backup in Sam Darnold.
Oh wow. Well, I think so. I am happy.
Hey, Shady, that's not a Mike Shady. You know the answer to that question. He's talking about he might be a backup to get out of here.
I just think that, you know, for them to reach a deal with him, I'm happy for him, actually. Seriously. Yeah. Because I thought he played bad out there with the Browns, right?
And they thought he played bad?
Yeah, and they thought the same. That's
what about in 2020?
Well, hold on. So they move him, right?
Yeah.
Now that he's going to the Panthers, we'll see what happens over there. I think he has some weapons. I'm not sure if the running game is that strong. As a quarterback, you know this. That's the best thing. Your best friend is a running game, you know. But I'm happy he got another opportunity. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, Pac-Man, what do you think about Baker Mayfield being traded to the Carolina Panthers?
Well, What you mean? Who cares? you understand what I'm saying? So
okay.
This is what you gotta look at. $10 million of the dollars, who's paying? Folks, you just said it. Say it again.
Yeah, the Carolina,
Cleveland.
I mean, Cleveland. The Cleveland Browns.
But I mean, Cleveland is paying $10 million of this bonus right here. Yeah. I mean, whatever it is, the
I got you.
You know what I'm saying? The payment for the year. He getting paid $13 million. You said
salary. Yeah.
All right. So guess who on the hook only for $3 million?
Yeah, the Carolina Panthers are only hooked for like $4 million of it.
All right. Guess what normal 100%. Teams pay their backups?
Yeah. And so, I just want to mention this, that Baker can earn that 3.5 through incentives. So he still can make 18.8 through incentives, that last 3.5 that he had potentially took a pay cut for. He can earn the rest of that through incentives.
Which is all good. But what I'm saying is, why wouldn't Carolina do this?
That's the next question.
For a quality backup, yeah. We only on the horn for $4 million. Man, and we are talking about, did Baker Mayfield have the tools? Hell yeah, he had the tools. He got one of the best running backs that's in the game. He had at least out of the top 15 receivers, he had two of them on his team. Mm. He got goddamn five goddamn linemen that's pro bowlers. I mean, four of the five that are pro bowlers are all pros.
Yeah.
So we cannot sit here and talk about, did he have the tools? He had the tools.
Yeah.
If you got five linemen and four of them are pro bowlers and all pros, that means you got a hell of a line. If you got a running back that's averaging 5.5 yards of carries that had, 1,500 plus rushing yards, and you got three receivers, you got one that left midway through the season and would have been MVP of the Super Bowl if he wouldn't have got hurt. Mm. Let's not talk about did he have the tools. The motherfucker didn't get it done.
Pac, he left out, but I will say this with Pac-Man, though. He's right. One thing I do agree with Pac-Man is that that was clever, though. Because you pay a backup, what, $4 million?
Maybe yeah, 100%.
That. But then so now let's say he doesn't beat Darnold out, right? Now he's your backup.
Playing and he only paying him right under $5 million.
And who wouldn't love – now, I'm not a big Baker Mayfield fan. I'm going to say that. But who wouldn't mind having him as the backup?
Yeah. I mean, but do you think he'll be the backup? Because they essentially, they traded for him.
They're the same guy.
Him and Sam Darnold?
Fifth round pick.
Yeah.
I think he may be a little more safer with the ball, but
yeah,
he can get bad at times too.
You know what I'm saying?
But not as bad as Darnold.
Yeah, so do you think Baker Mayfield ends up starting week one for the Carolina Panthers?
To be honest, right, if this is like a bet, it would be like -110 or plus, plus 110 because it's so hard to gauge if it's Darnold or if it's Baker Mayfield. And it's tough. I think they're the same guy. I think one guy has a little bit more heart. One guy is a little more passionate about the game. But, I mean, talent-wise, they're both just – regular.
Yeah, I want to put this into perspective, right? Because in 2020, Baker Mayfield actually had a really good season, man. You know, he helped, the Cleveland Browns, two C teams, Cleveland Browns get to the playoffs, right? And it wasn't Baker's Mayfield's issue why they lost in the second round versus the Kansas City Chiefs, right? You know, Rashad Hollywood Higgins fumbled the ball at the one. I don't know if you remember that. He played really well, so it wasn't on him. I mean, the defense gave him some yards at the end of the game. They actually had the lead in the beginning of that game versus the Kansas City Chiefs, and, you know, they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in round one.
Wait, with the backup playoffs. Quarterback with the Chiefs, right?
No, he was Patrick Mahomes was back that game. Okay. Yeah, he was back by then.
Okay.
So, I mean, he played really well when he was healthy. I think that gets lost sometimes in translation that, you know, Baker Mayfield probably shouldn't even play last year. Right, Shady? We always talk about this as athletes, and we have these discussions in the locker room where the guys should, you know, go out there and play through pain or play through injury. Right. Because the teams seem like they have short term memory. When you do go out there and play and they know that you're not 100% and you don't perform to what you did in the past.
Are you blaming?
I'm sorry, you guys. We're having a bad storm in Cincinnati right now. Like the whole power just clicked off, and you know the computer was on, but when the power clicked off, that clicked off the internet. So I didn't want you guys to think I was just getting off. We got a bad storm going on. But
I'm glad you're back, Pac. I'm glad you're back because somebody, right?
I'm just saying.
Somebody in the studio is here trying to vouch to say that. Oh, the biggest reason why Baker Mayfield played so bad is because he was banged up and hurt.
Get the fuck out of here. Come on. Who said that?
I said it.
Man. Can I tell you one thing?
Go ahead.
Who was the most sacked quarterback in the NFL? last year. It, said
who was it?
It wasn't him. It seemed like to me Joe Burrow's got sacked 100,000 times. I'm quite sure that Joe Burrow's got hit more than any quarterback in the NFL this year, and probably the last year too. Like, come on, bro. I think you cannot tell me that he's not really getting hit.
I think because he talks so much. Like,
come on, Baker Mayfield.
You ever one of them sayings where the backups talking like starters and the starters talking like superstars? I think that's his issue, is that he talks a big game like as if he's arrived or done enough to talk like that.
I mean, but let's put this also into perspective, Shady. Who were the Cleveland Browns before Baker Mayfield got there?
They were the same people. He only had one really winning season.
And that was before the injury in 2020, right?
Okay.
Yes, that's it.
And before that, his rookie year, he had him close to 500. I think they were 7-9.
Close to 500. He played halfway through his rookie year.
Tyrod Taylor, I believe, started the first.
Taylor started way more than the first couple games, because I think Hugh Jackson the coach then?
Yeah, it was like three games, man. It was three games. But like Baker Mayfield, like the Cleveland Browns were always a laughingstock. Now they're in contention. Now, I'm not saying it's 100% because of Baker Mayfield. No way. To Shady's point, to your point, they have one of the top five offensive lines in the country, probably the best running game in the country, right? They had, you know, good receivers on the outside, Odell, Jarvis Landry, and Njoku at tight end, and they had a solid defense. But Baker Mayfield in that 2020 year made some big-time throws.
Now, you're right. I will give you that. In 2020, he did make some plays. He was solid. But this last year, I mean, throwing 17 touchdowns and giving me 13 picks.
I feel you on that. I don't think he should have played last year because he knew he was hurt. This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I am your host, Lee J. Doosable, with my guys, LaShawn Shady McCoy and Adam Pac-Man Jones. And we're talking about Baker Mayfield being traded from the Cleveland Browns to the Carolina Panthers. LaShawn Shady McCoy, does Baker Mayfield give the Panthers a better chance than Sam Darnold to win?
I would say yes. I do. I would say yes. I think that I don't think he's super good like that, but I do think that he's good at managing games. I think his whole career, especially in the NFL, he's been good at that, having a solid running game, a solid defense. With the Panthers have both. They have a hell of a running back.
If he's healthy.
C-Mac, if he can stay healthy.
Yeah.
With McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. The defense is really, really solid.
They got a nice young defense.
They keep adding no pieces to that defense. And the last thing about, I think, with Baker Mayfield is, one thing I got to give him credit for, man, he is tough. So he has that chip on his shoulder, and I can see him getting better. The only thing is, man, with him is, like, I truly think that he reached his peak. I can't see him getting any more better. So the best we've seen in Baker Mayfield in 2020 years,
that's the best we're going to see.
Hey, can I tell y'all something?
Upseat Sam Darnold, though.
Can I say something?
Sam Darnold. Go ahead, Adam Pac-Man Jones.
I ain't mean to interrupt y'all, but y'all keep talking about how fucking good Baker Mayfield is. And I will say this, bro. Only time he really played good is against the Bengals, bro. Like, you got to think about it like this. The man averaged 14 interceptions per year. Is that a good quarterback? Yes or no?
I'm going to say no.
that's not great. It's not horrible, though.
14 a year? 14 picks a year?
What? Are you telling me?
Look it up. How many did Joe Burrow have last year?
How many wins? He went to the Super Bowl. I'm about to compare the wins, too. Why are you talking that shit? That was the next question.
Joe Burrow won last year. You can't compare the wins.
Huh?
Joe Burrow only won last year. He didn't win the year before.
Joe Burrow got hurt. What are you talking about? He got hurt. He hurt his knee.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So what are we saying?
How many touchdowns he had?
34 touchdowns.
you tripping, bro. 34 touchdown passes in 1 year.
The difference is 20.
You talking about a guy that's played 4 years that's got 94 touchdowns, right?
Mm-hmm.
He got 56 interceptions already.
That's actually a 14 a year. 56. That's not a terrible ratio, Shady.
And then I will say this though.
Oh my god. Who's your quarterbacks when you play?
I mean, I ain't really have no great.
That's why your standards of quarterbacks are not to the standard.
Hold on, Pac-Man. You ain't had great quarterbacks either. I had some good ones though.
I had some way better than him.
Hey Pac-Man.
When I played with VY, when I played with Steve McNair, when I played with
go ahead, get him, Shady. Get him.
What? his prime was way better than this kid in his prime. Period. the games we played in Tennessee with VY, yeah. he was better than, come on, bro. Yeah. Like, y'all, come on, put some respect on his name, at least a little bit. Now, I understand what Shady's saying about the hype team and this. They wasn't that what he said they was going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I still think he gives him a better chance than Sam Darnold to win, especially in the NFC. Shady, we know this. The NFC is down this year.
This is what I will say. If you really watched Sam Darnold last year before McCaffrey got hurt, yo, he was rolling, bro.
Yeah, running the football.
No, running the football.
Show these numbers. Don't look at numbers because they dial stuff up for him in the red zone.
Numbers don't lie. With quarterbacks.
I watched the game because at the time, I was gambling on games.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. The game he got hurt against Houston, the whole offense changed.
You weren't gambling while you was playing, Shady. Let's set that straight for the record.
I was gonna say,
While he was playing. He didn't play last year.
So what do you guys think happens to Sam Darnold now?
I'll let Pat go.
What do you think happens to Sam Darnold?
Well, this how I look at it. Shit, Sam Darnold's got 52 picks. He only two less than goddamn Baker Mayfield.
Baker's not the starter.
Hold on.
You think it's gonna battle? You think it's a battle?
They both are like it's like.
Oh, you know it's a battle. Come on.
Come on.
They also took Matt Corral in the third round too. The kid from Ole Miss.
Oh, I like him. I like him a lot, actually. But they're the same guy.
How much do they got tied up in Sam Darnold, Shady?
He's making 18.8 this year.
He made 18. All right, he's making 18.8. That's cool, though, but it's tied up, right? So, and then they only playing $4 million out of the 14.
4.85. Yeah.
If you're owning Shady, what do? You got two okay guys. You know what I mean? We already got to pay you this money, so you are locked in. We got you for a bargain, but y'all making around about the same thing. You can make about the same thing if you play good. So you got to make it a dog fight in camp. It's got to be a real dog fight. This got to be competitive every day. I mean, I'm in the locker room helping my guy get better, because that don't happen when you have these type of competitions in the locker room. Because it sets up
Sam Darnold
one of these guys for the next 4 years, if they pan out to play good, because if they play good, one of them gonna get paid. Whoever plays good.
Sam Darnold numbers is so bad.
That's what I'm saying. You talking about
Sam Darnold numbers? But
hold on, real quick. So Pat, check it out. Now hear me out for a second.
Yeah.
First game, right? I played the Jets. Now the Jets are the
exactly
because you played there.
Chill,
right?
Bro.
But
chill.
In the NFL,
that man, so disrespectful, lady.
In the NFL, it's all about elite. So he had 279 yards, right?
Yeah.
He was 35 of 24, and he had one touchdown. Next game against the Saints, they won 26. Yeah, I remember that game. Right. So he had
they smoked them.
38 attempts, 26 completions, 305 yards. Right. He had two touchdowns and one pick. Mm-hmm. Houston, right? After this game, it got bad because McCaffrey got hurt this game. He had 34 attempts, 23 completions, 300 yards. He had no touchdowns, but they won all three games when McCaffrey was playing. Okay. When McCaffrey got hurt, guess how many games they lost in a row? Four.
Six. Oh, a four.
You see what I'm saying?
So what are you trying to say? You think
it's a big change on the offense?
I'm saying, like, when you got two bad quarterbacks, it's a good competition. So anything can happen.
How is that a good competition when they both bad?
I mean, hey. Yeah, it's like, it's like getting a high D.
At a C plus.
Yeah. Come on. You know what I'm saying? High D and a real, real low C.
Man, you
are people do like that. A F compared to a high D.
What up? This is three-time NBA champ and former North Carolina Tar Heel Danny Green, and I'm taking you inside the green room alongside my guy Harrison Sanford as we discuss the latest in entertainment, culture, and of course basketball with some of the biggest names to ever lace them up. You'll hear from some of the best in the league right now, and you might just hear from a Hall of Famer or two. Tap in with us. You can find Inside the Green Room on SiriusXM, Pandora, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to follow the show so you never miss an episode.
He's my brother, former teammate, former first-round pick of the New York Jets in 2015. Pro Bowl defensive lineman, and he was traded to the Giants in the middle of the 2019 season. My guy, Leonard Williams. Leo, what's good, man?
My guy, former teammate. That was a long time ago, man.
You're the old head now.
Yeah. I ain't used to be on this side of it. I used to call you old, and now I'm in the same boat.
The crazy thing is, you're in year eight now, right?
Yeah, I'm in year eight now.
Crazy story, Shady and Adam Pac-Man Jones. So after the camp, this is right before the season start. Everybody goes out. And at the time, I think I'm only 28, right? His age right now, matter of fact, right? So we all out, and I pull up later than everybody to the club, Shady. And Leo, as soon as he see me, he was like, oh, we got the old heads out. I'm like, bro, I'm in my 20s. What you talking about, old head? And now he in that same predicament in year eight.
At the time, I felt so young, man. Hey,
Leonard, what's up, man? How you doing, Shady, man?
I'm good. How you doing, man?
We had some battles. Listen, this dude... Well, you play with him, so you know. Talking about the preparation, you know, to go against him, strong, fast, smart.
Yep.
It's been a hell of a ride, especially when he's in Buffalo. I'm like, this dude's crazy. Yeah, that was a fun game, I said, look, if you can't block him, grab his hair. We got to get this thing off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's hilarious. Well, let's jump into it, man. You got a new head coach, Brian Daboll, man. Just talk about the transition from, you know, Joe Judge. Because I had heard some rumors in the locker room that, you know, guys were – not quote unquote, but like kind of scared, you know, to even be themselves around Joe Judge during practice in the locker room. But I heard things have changed since Brian Daboll has been there. Just talk about that transition from Joe Judge to Brian Daboll as head coach.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have nothing bad to say about Joe Judge. I think he's a great coach. Me and him personally had a pretty good relationship on and off the field. I think he just kind of comes from that, you know, Patriots background, and it's a little more strict, a little more like militant style. And, you know, some people may say that, you know, it takes the fun away a little bit, you know, from what they like to do. But, you know, having Coach Daboll in, you know, I think he's like a younger coach and he's like a player's coach type of guy. And he came in and, like, I remember one of the first things I, like, noticed about this guy is he made us do like an offense versus defense competition in the team meeting room in front of everybody. And he called out, you know, Dexter Lawrence and Shep, Sterling Shepard. And they made him go up to the front of the room. And I'm over here thinking like, dang, what's this competition about to be? And he hands a controller in both of their hands and made them do like a Madden, like 2 minute competition up in the front of the room. And I immediately thought that was like such a cool thing and like a difference from it. And it was like a big difference from what we just came out of, you know, where we came from like a really strict type of system to where now we're kind of like in a more, you know, they still demand us to work hard, obviously, but it's a little more fun. And I think having that fun brings a little more freedom to the players, freedom to, you know, play the way you want to play on the field and also be the type of person you want to be in the locker room, whether that's a leader, vocal guy, stuff like that. I think it creates a little more comfortable atmosphere.
Hey, Leonard, what's up? This is Shady, man. Hey, now I had the pleasure to play for Daboll. So the things you're talking about, I remember in a team meeting room, we had Sean McDermott, who changed the whole culture up in Buffalo. Mm. And one thing he would do to bring the team together, right, to get that bond on both sides of the ball, he would have these different, like, competitions.
Yeah.
So one day he might have a golf club, right, some on the defense, some on the offense. They come, and who could putt the best? Or one day he might have the Madden come in there. You play one series of Madden.
Yeah.
So my question to you is, do you think this year will be different as far as winning games? Because I just gotta keep it real. I gotta ask you, because the Giants for years,
it's been a struggle.
Right. So going forward in that division, do you think you guys can really finally take over that division and be the head?
Man, I think we definitely have the talent. I think it just comes to the execution. And I said this because I've been a part of multiple coaching changes in my career. You know, I played for a lot of head coaches already, and I'm only on year eight.
Right.
You know, coming from the Jets to the Giants. And I always kind of say, you know, in the end of the day, you know, it's a player's team, and right, it's going to take the players to win in the end of the day. And I think, you know, it starts with the leadership on the team. And, you know, looking at myself, because, you know, like me and dudes were just joking about, you know, I'm one of the vets and old heads on the team now. So I think it takes guys like me and a few other guys that's going to step up and like really take control of the team. And, you know, regardless of what type of coaches we have come in and out, you know, if the players are still here, we're going to be the ones that drive the team. And, you know, like I said, I think the talent is there. I think we can definitely, yeah, I think we can compete in this division.
Hey, this is Pac-Man Jones on behalf of I'm Athlete Tonight. Hey, thank you for coming, big boy. Leonard, my question is, at a certain point of your career, it's got to be about winning now. You know what I'm saying? Like, you've done a lot of stuff as far as the self-accolades. Only thing you haven't done is, you know, get to where it need to get to as far as the playoffs and getting further on down the line. When you go into these situations, like, and coming off of that, how is the head coach? What is the tempo in the locker room? Knowing that y'all wasn't as healthy as y'all would like to been last year, you know, like, what's the tempo of Jones? Like, tell the listeners, like, what's the tempo? Like, do y'all believe y'all going to win? Is it the same? You know, we hoping for a prayer. Like, what's the tempo when y'all got out of OTAs?
I mean, when I left OTAs, I appreciate that question. You know, I want to keep it real. And, you know, I think the defense feels very fired up. We love Coach Wink. He's a very aggressive blitz, like, you know, fuck it type of mentality. We're going to attack, you know, regardless of the downer situation. And I think as a defensive guy, you love that. And I think we're really building it piece by piece on defense. And, you know, I think once we get some things clicking on offense, because like I said, I think we have the weapons. I think we just have to make sure they're all in alignment with each other and get things going. I think this is a great team, to be honest. And I'm loving the coaches. And like I said, the atmosphere with these new guys is just completely different. Guys are a little more free to compete. We're like talking trash to each other in practice. We're, you know, having brotherly talks in the locker room. And I'm seeing a lot of good things that a winning team needs to win. And that's definitely a big part of my career going forward now, because I haven't been to the playoffs yet. So year 8, having been to the playoffs, you know, I'm pretty – like, I got a fire under my ass right now to start getting those.
Bring in, you know, some help in there too, you know. Y'all went high this year.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, the draft.
They got Kayvon in the draft from Oregon. What do you think he can bring to the team? How's his tempo in practice? It's a lot of guys that get to the league that don't understand the speed. You get what I'm saying? Yeah, and to me, when I look at younger guys, if they can get the speed quick, everything else we know we're going to be good with, because you wouldn't be here if you weren't good enough to play. And when you pick that high, if you can pick up the speed, you can pretty much find different things that you can be good at. You know what I mean? And through your repertoire and when you pick through. So what do you think about Kayvon? What do you think he can add to the team? How's his motor? You know what I mean?
I mean, unfortunately, he was in a red jersey. I can't really remember.
Yeah, that shit is not good.
Uh-oh.
He had a hip injury, so he didn't really do any OTAs, just individual, right?
Yeah, I think he was in OTAs for like maybe the first week, and then that was maybe first or second week.
All right, what did you get out in the first or second week? You can just tell us.
I mean, I've seen a lot of speed and good natural, good natural hands. But like I said, I didn't get to see too much of him. He has some great pass rushes in that first or 2 weeks and great get off. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he does in camp when we get pads on.
Can we ask the real question?
I was about to ask you, too.
The real question.
Like, 100%, this team is only going as far as Daniel Jones takes
them. Oh, thank you. Y'all playing around, man.
I was about to ask you, but Pat jumped in front of me. Jones coming in, you know, trying to fix the offensive line because everybody was beat up last year. I mean, what have you seen from Daniel Jones? And do you believe he's the quarterback that can take you guys, you know, to the playoffs? You said you haven't been your whole career. You're trying to get there. Do you believe Daniel Jones is the guy that can take you there?
Oh, man. This is a tough question, because knowing the guy, I know attribute-wise, he has everything it takes. Like, he's tall, he's fast, He has an arm, all those great things. But I think somewhere along the line, his mental has to grow a little bit in order for us to take it to the next level. And that's coming from a teammate. That's coming from a friend. You know, I love this guy, and I want to see him succeed. I want to see the team succeed, and I want to succeed. And I think it's just like his confidence has to grow, and his mental leadership a little bit around the team has to grow a little bit.
This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I'm your host, Lee J. Doosable, with my guys, LaShawn Shady McCoy and Adam Pac-Man Jones. And we're talking to my brother, Leonard Williams, Pro Bowl defensive lineman for the New York Football Giants. Another guy that was beat up last year, Saquon Barkley, right? And I've heard good things out of, you know, OTAs and the Giants camp that he's looking really good, looking strong. I know he came out and said, you know, he finally got confidence back in his knee from the injury. How has he looked out there in OTAs? And do you guys expect to see the Saquon we saw the first couple of years in the NFL tearing up the NFL?
I mean, since I've been around the guy, since I got traded here, I've had nothing but respect for this guy, the way he carries himself around the team. He works hard. He's, you know, one of the first guys in, last guys out type of guy. You know, he's constantly in there getting treatment and rehab. You know, it's unfortunate that he's had to deal with injuries so much of his career. He's a freak athlete. This man is squatting as much as the defensive line, and, you know, he's running with the slot receivers and stuff like that. You know what I mean? This man is just a freak athlete, and he's had an unfortunate, you know, layout of injuries, but he's looking great right now, and he's looking great every time I see him touch the ball since I've been a part of the Giants, honestly. If he's healthy and has the ball in his hands, he looks amazing.
Yeah, I will say this. He's probably – if I had to pick you know, who's probably my most talented running back, I would go with Saquon. I probably
– From just a talent standpoint.
Talent. I would go with him or McCaffrey, but I probably go with him, Saquon. Mm. Hey, Leonard, Shady McCoy here. My last question for you, that now that you're in a better situation, I think, with Daboll, because I played with him. He's been around successful coaches his whole career, from college and the pros. Okay, so New York Giants, how would you – the ideal world for you guys, right? So Daniel Jones, he's, like you said, he needs the confidence. Everything else is good, but the confidence part, a healthy Saquon Barkley. What's the ideal world for you guys to actually go to that next level? Because if you look at the division, the Eagles, right, which is my favorite team, obviously, but we're kind of still young, right? And I think the Cowboys is more a team that's just like, I don't know.
People have penciled them in as the division winners.
But they're up and down. Yeah. I think that could
Jerry World, man. It's Jerry World.
He's funny,
but I'm just saying.
So, in other words, like, what do you think their expectations are? This year?
Like, right, just like, I love the journey. So, the beginning is, I'm sure nobody's picking the Giants, right? But in the middle, it might get changed. And at the end, is the final results. So, you have to send me through that journey, man. What does that look like in the ideal world for you guys?
I think, like you said about the Cowboys, about them being up and down. I think almost our whole division is like that, to be honest. I think almost every year I've played in this division, it's been up for grabs for almost any team. It always comes down to the wire near the end of the season when, like, almost any team in our division can win the division. And I think that gives me hope because it's a competitive division. And, you know, I think it gives almost any team a chance really right now to win the division, to be honest. And it's been like that the last 3 years I've been with the Giants.
So what quarterback – I always like to ask this question to players. So what quarterback you love to sack the most? I just want to know.
That's a good question.
And don't say Brady because he's 40-plus. That don't count.
Yeah, he don't count. I mean, I like sacking division guys, to be honest. So, like, Dak Prescott's one of my favorite guys to sack.
Okay.
Like, I don't know, like Lamar Jackson or something like that, just because, like, he's such, like, a, you know, mobile quarterback that, like, those type of quarterbacks are, like, hard to take down in the league. You know, Tom Brady, like, although, like, everyone wants to sack him because he's, you know, the GOAT, he goes down. As soon as you get in the backfield, he's going to feel your presence and literally just lay down. So those are a little bit easier sacks because as soon as I beat my guy, I know that he's going down. You know what I mean? Whereas, like, guys like Lamar Jackson and guys like, you know, Dak Prescott, sometimes you beat your guy and it's still a whole second play you got to do to take him down.
Well, you had a big game versus Russell Wilson, a guy like that too, right? 2 years ago up there in Seattle, right? What, you had three that game?
Yeah, defense player of the week, you know.
Talk bad to him. Go ahead, Pat. Go ahead.
First of all, I think you're one of those guys who you don't have to say, hey, turn on your motor. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Of course, your numbers don't show how good of a player you is because of teams that you've been on, and you can get double more often than a lot more other teams. With all that being said, the main question is, and I hate to put you back on the spot right now, but as far as quarterback-wise, relationship with quarterback, head coach, do you think that it's in the right place to make it go where it need to go? You get what I'm saying? As far as the relationship, because if you look through some of the media, you know, sometimes he talks highly about him. Sometimes it can get here and there, but like, as a locker room guy, you'd be like, all right, you know, I know that this is our guy. And I think the coach is saying, like, this is our guy. But, like, mm-hmm. everybody – we don't get to get in the locker room. We don't get to get in the team meetings. You know what I mean? So, only thing we get to do is listen and observe and dialect what we're hearing. But it's a little wishy-washy to me. Like,
yeah.
From being in the locker room, is Jones the guy, man, or is it a fucking competition?
I mean, I think it's a competition. I think he is definitely having the starting spot, and come camp and come preseason and first game and stuff like that, you know, they're giving him the spot. But I think it's definitely competition, or they wouldn't have brought Tyrod there. You know what I mean? And I think what I do like
about – I got my vote. I'm sorry. You had to say that.
Yeah, but what I do like about Daboll is like he has that charisma and that character and that, you know, outgoing type of personality that I think he can bring that out of DJ. And I think that's the one thing that I see. If DJ got a little bit better at his those skills, he would be a great player.
Let me go real quick, Pat. Let's take it back to 2019, because I know I told you it was only going to get you for 20 minutes. Thank you for spending this much time with us, Leo.
Yeah, no,
let's just talk about you being on the Jets, right? Halfway through the season, you get traded to the New York Giants. You know, statistically, you didn't have the season that you had normally were used to getting. 2 years before that, you were a Pro Bowler. Just talk about the journey that year. You know, what was going through your head? As you know, you were a top 10 pick, right? Usually those guys get paid. And not only do you get traded to the crosstown team. Like, yeah. what was that situation like? I remember talking to you when all that happened, but just for the viewers to listen, like what was going through your head when all that happened?
I mean, it was definitely a humbling experience. You know, I got drafted there. I'm like a pretty loyal, like committed type of guy. So like, I'm like, you know, this is my team till I die type of thing. And, you know, like your boy was just saying, like, I'm never the type of guy that you need to tell, you know, turn it on. Cause, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's practice, walkthrough, anything, I'm dialed in. And, you know, I never missed a game of my career. And, you know, DeBrickashaw Ferguson, who I played with at the Jets, he was one of the guys who, you know, I seen him do that in his career, and I played 11 plus years. And I was just like, wow, you know, I want to be like that. You know, I never missed a game yet. Due to injury or nothing like that. But, you know, getting traded over there, it was definitely a humbling experience.
Glass eater. Yes, I would have loved to have you on my team.
Yes, sir. But, yeah, getting traded was humbling, man. You know, I've always been at the peak of my talent since, you know, high school. You know, I've always been, you know, a five-star recruit, like, you know, top All-American in college, you know, getting drafted high, all these things. I've always heard good things, you know what I mean? And when you finally get, you know, that check, you know, you finally like, all right, it was good for me. You know, it made me lock in and remember what I really wanted. You know, going to a team like the Giants, who has a lot of great defensive linemen that's been through their legacy. You know, it made me proud to like possibly be part of that legacy as well. And I think it just like relit a fire under my ass that like, you know, this game can be taken from anybody at any time, no matter who you are. And
I mean, he got lucky.
That's another thing. I got lucky, man. I was blessed because I literally went to the building one day wearing green. I went into the coach's GM office, talked to them. Next day, I'm wearing blue. And I'm like, I can't imagine that transition if I had to, like, pack up and fly somewhere and, like, you know, get a new apartment for them.
In the middle of the season, too.
Yeah, in the middle of the season. So, like, I got lucky because I'm like, I didn't have to move. I didn't have to pack. I'm literally just, instead of going that way, I went this way in the morning.
they did your trade over lunch.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, Leo, we got one quick question for you. I know you're a guy that's into spearfishing. Talk about some things you like to do in the off season. How did you get into spearfishing? Like, how did you get into that? And I know it's the thing that I love to do, and we've done some spearfishing together.
Me and my guy do
dive in the water and spearfish.
Yeah, so I had a small Airbnb house in Malibu. It was right on the water. So I had like my own beach access and stuff like that. And this was right when COVID started. So it was about 3 years ago now.
Yeah.
And during that pandemic, I had my little brother staying with me and one of my college boys and his little brother staying with me. So it was like, you know, the bros all staying with us. I would go work out in the morning, come home, really nothing to do. I like looked outside one day, just started swimming. Started seeing a bunch of like coral reefs and all that type of stuff underwater. Mm-hmm. And then I eventually like went to a small dive shop down the street. He set me up with like all the basics, like, you know, like an old school Hawaiian sling, some basic flippers and snorkel and stuff like that. I started diving like 10, 15 feet, catching small stuff.
Oh, wow.
And then I eventually put on like I eventually met some people that from my college, USC, that started taking me to like Catalina Island and stuff like that. And I got a full wetsuit at this point. I got like a real gun, like a rife gun. And we started catching like bigger stuff, like 20-pound yellowtails and big fish, you know. Ooh. And now I've been doing it for like 3 years. I've caught in like, you know, 60-pound grouper. I've caught in like 100-pound tuna and stuff like that. And what a lot of people think when I tell them spearfishing, they think I'm like standing in shallow water, grabbing them.
Nah, we dive in the water.
It's like I have a snorkel and goggles on, so no scuba tank or nothing like that, no scuba gear. And I'm diving about 70 feet underwater and catching.
Yeah.
But under the water, though, everything is so slow. So like, so is it harder to like stab?
Well, no. So it's a spear gun. So it's shooting
well on it. Oh, you got it.
It's kind of like a harpoon. Like it has like
Shady. They trying to act like this shit easy. It's not easy.
No.
You was drowned. Listen, bro. I tried to do this shit one time.
You tried it, bro?
Yeah. And I had a tank on. Bro, that shit is not for everybody.
Oh, it's definitely.
I got a good friend. He's from Key West, Florida, and he does that. He dive real deep like you.
Yeah. It's good in the Keys. That's where I went.
But we got to wrap, man. Leonard, thank you for stopping by with us.
Great
to
meet you,
thanks, New York Giants defensive lineman Pro Bowl. Appreciate you stopping by, bro.
Appreciate y'all, man.
I Am Athlete Tonight is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. Support I Am Athlete Tonight with a 5-star rating and by leaving a review. That's a big deal, guys. Stop being lazy. Pick up your phones and leave a review and give us a 5-star rating. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Want more? Catch the full 2 hours of I Am Athlete Tonight weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Mad Dog Sports Radio, SiriusXM Channel 82. Go to SiriusXM.com/IAA Tonight Trial to start your free trial today.
SiriusXM Podcasts.